the cathedral at Chartres, which you love so much, also expresses a relationship of the human to the cosmos, doesn't it?
Well, I think everyone who has spent any time at Chartres has felt something very special about this cathedral. I've been there about 8 times. When I was a student in Paris, I went down there about 5 times and spent one whole weekend, and I identified and looked at every single figure in that cathedral. I was there so much that the concierge, this little old fellow who took care of the cathedral, he came to me one noontime and he said, would you like to go up with me and ring the bells? I said, I sure would. So we climbed the flish, the tower, up to where the great bell was, the great enormous bronze bell. And there was a little, like a seesaw. And he stood on one end of the seesaw, and I stood on the other end of the seesaw. And there was a little bar there for us to hold on to. He gave the thing a push, and then he was on it, and I was on it. We started going up and down, and the wind blowing through our hair up there in the cathedral. And then it began underneath, bong, you know, bong, bong. I tell you, it was one of the most thrilling adventures in my life. And when it was all over, he brought me down. He said, I want to show you where my room is. Well, in a cathedral, you have the nave, and then the transept, and then the apse. And around the apse is the choir screen. Now, the choir screen in Chartres is about that wide. And he took me in a little door into the middle of the choir screen, and there was his little bed and a little table with a lamp on it. And when I looked out, there was the Black Madonna, the vitrine, the window of the Black Madonna, and that was where he lived. Now, there was a man living in a meditation, a constant meditation. I mean, that was a very moving, beautiful thing. Well, I've been there time and time again since.
What do you find when you go there? What does it say about all that we've been discussing?
Well, the first thing it says is it takes me back to a time when these principles informed the society. I mean, you can tell what's informing the society by the size of what the building is that's the tallest building in the place. When you approach a medieval town, the cathedral's the tallest thing in the place. When you approach a 17th century city, it's the political palace that's the tallest thing in the place. And when you approach a modern city, it's office buildings and dwellings that are the tallest things in the place. And if you go to Salt Lake City, you'll see the whole thing illustrated right in front of your face. First, the temple was built. The temple was built right in the center of the city. Yeah, I mean, this was the proper organization. That's the spiritual center from which all flows in all directions. And then the capital was built right beside the temple. And it's bigger than the temple. And now the biggest thing is the office building that takes care of the affairs of both the temple and the political building. That's the history of Western civilization, from the Gothic through the princely periods of the 16th, 17th, 18th centuries to this economic world that we're in now.
In New York now, the debate is over who can build the tallest building, not to praise, but to build the tallest building.
Yeah, and they are magnificent. I mean, some of the things that are going up in New York now really are. And this is a kind of architectural triumph. And what it is the statement of the city. We are a financial power center, and look what we can do. It's a kind of virtuosic acrobatic stunt.
Will new myths come from there?
Well, something might. You can't predict what a myth is going to be any more than you can predict what you're going to dream tonight. Myths and dreams come from the same place. They come from realizations of some kind that have then to find expression in symbolic form. And the only myth that's going to be worth thinking about in the immediate future is one that's talking about the planet. Not this city, not these people, but the planet. and everybody on it. That's my main thought for what the future myth is going to be. And what it will have to deal with will be exactly what all myths have dealt with. The maturation of the individual, the gradual, the pedagogical way to follow from dependency through adulthood to maturity and then to the exit, and how to do it. And then how to relate to this society and how to relate this society to the world of nature and the cosmos. That's what the myths have all talked about. That's what this one's got to talk about. But the society that it's got to talk about is the society of the planet. And until that gets going, you don't have anything.
There's that wonderful photograph you have of the Earth seen from space. Mm. And it's very small, and at the same time, it's very grand.
You don't see any divisions there of nations or states or anything of the kind. This might be the symbol, really, for the new mythology to come. That is the country that we are going to be celebrating. And those are the people that we are one with.